In the name of God, the Creator, Liberator, and Sustainer of the universe. Amen.
Amen.
In our Gospel reading this morning from the third chapter of Mark's Gospel, which was not printed in the bulletin, Jesus said, "Whoever does the will of my Father is my brother, my sister, and my mother." Family is a very important word in our culture. Most of us think that family is a very good word. In our religious tradition, the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments tells us that we should honor our father and our mother. And most of us practice that commandment and believe that it is a good teaching. Culturally, we also celebrate days such as Father's Day, in which we in some way honor our fathers. We celebrate Mother's Day, although we have really domesticated Mother's Day since 1872, when Julia Ward Howe established Mother's Day. If you've never read the original proclamation that Julia Ward Howe wrote, you should look it up. Mother's Day was to be Mother's Peace Day, and mothers were asked to urge their children, their sons, and their husbands never to go fight in a war, ever. And she suggested consequences. She said, if your husband goes and fights in a war, and he comes home with the blood of other children dripping from his clothes, the first thing you should do would make it clear that under no conditions could he enter into your bedroom. We quickly change that into, maybe we can make some pancakes for Mother on Mother's Day. We like that idea much better. Most of us think that our families will take care of us. Most of us think that if we have to go there, they will take us in, and some of us have had that experience. Great American poet Robert Frost laid it out very clearly when he said that home is the place that when you have to go there, they have to take you in. Most of us think that families are good things. We are cared for in families. We are nurtured as little children. We are cared for when we are sick, both when we are young and often when we are old. We learn a great deal about the world, seeing through the eyes of our parents. We often learn the value of community from families. And we are very often thankful for them and value them in our culture. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus goes home. He goes home at a time when he's having a very severe conflict with the religious leaders of his day. Jesus often had conflicts with religious leaders. Maybe he was thinking that when he got home, he would have a moment of rest that his brothers and sisters would welcome him. And he would have a few moments just to kick back. But in the time of Jesus, it was also true that families had certain expectations. Jesus had a family. Mary and Joseph knew before he was born that God would be acting in Jesus, present in him, in a very special way. They risked their lives becoming refugees, going down into Egypt to save his young life. So they loved him a great deal. But they also had expectations, which were probably influenced a great deal by the religious environment in which they lived. They did not expect Jesus to enter into solidarity with women who were about to be stoned for committing adultery and challenging the religious leaders who were about to carry out that execution. They did not expect Jesus to touch and heal lepers. It was against the religious law to touch a leper. Jesus did. They did not expect Jesus to eat and hang out with tax collectors and sinners. They were hated, tax collectors were. Jesus did. They did not expect Jesus to take on the religious leaders of his time and point out that they were more interested in their own political gain than they were in the welfare of the Jewish people. Jesus did. Now, in the time of Jesus, family was critical. It was true that some of the older traditions were being broken. Lands that families had had for centuries were being taken by wealthier people. But still, family was everything. Your status, your well-being, your future depended almost entirely on your family. Jesus did not live up to his family expectations. And so when he comes home and the religious leaders are on his case. According to Mark, his family thinks that he is gone a little insane. They think he's crazy. Where did that boy get all that stuff? They seem to side with the religious leaders who are attacking Jesus. And they send a message saying, you need to cut out what you're doing. You need to shape up, and you need to come home right now. You are causing a great deal of trouble, not only for yourself, but for us also, and who knows where this might end up. Come to your senses. Start behaving the way we taught you to behave when you were growing up in our house. And stop embarrassing the family by what you're doing. As much as we value families, we also know there is another side to families. I have now been a priest for 53 years, and I can tell you that almost all of the serious damage that I have seen in my work as a priest that has been done to people has been done in families. Children are abused in families. Wives and mothers are beaten in families. I had a parishioner who was a professor of music at the University of California, who at the age of 16, while on a vacation with his family, decided that that might be a good time to inform them that he was gay. They were in a city 1,000 miles from their home. So the 16-year-old young boy in the relaxed environment told his father that he was gay. Father immediately stopped the car, put him out, said, "Don't ever come home and never speak to me again," and drove off. And the boy was left alone with nothing. I read a story a few years ago about a young man in Louisiana, 21 years old. He had murdered a man for no apparent reason. And he never gave a reason. He was tried and sentenced to life in prison. 6 months later, he agreed to talk with a reporter, and this is what he said. He said the family in which he had grown up, his father had beaten him almost every day. His father had told him that he was no good, that he would never amount to anything, and would probably spend most of his life in prison. In a fit of anger, after he had beaten the young man and left, the father was killed in a trucking accident. A few weeks later, the boy shot and killed a man. He told the newspaper reporter that the reason he shot the man was that he wanted to honor his father. He said he just wanted to show his father that his father had always been right about him. So he shot the man, and he said, "Now I'll spend the rest of my life in prison. And my father will know that he was right about me." Families also get misused a lot. Almost any public servant who gets caught in a scandal and needs to resign will 80% of the time saying, "I've decided to resign because I need to spend more time with my family." White families in the history of this country who claim to value families sold members of black families, sons, daughters, wives, husbands, mothers, fathers, with no apparent concern about what they were doing. In the country of El Salvador, for most of the 20th century, 12 families controlled the economic reality of that country, in which they possess 95% of the economic resources, which meant that the average Salvadorian made less than $200 a year, and one in every four children died of starvation before they were 5 years old. The 12 families said they had been blessed by God, and their prosperity was divinely given. On our own border today, we are now separating children from their mothers. in what we call national security, but is a direct attack on families. In the 1960s, in the city of Chicago, there were many innovative new ministries that were being developed. There was the Urban Training Center, there was the Ecumenical Institute, many others. One of the leaders in many of those movements, and a brilliant writer, including writer of music, was a young clergyman named Steve Rose. When Steve Rose saw the musical Jesus Christ Superstar, he said he had to write the real musical. And the real musical he entitled Jesus Christ Stagehand. And one of the songs that Steve wrote for that musical was entitled Goodbye to the Families We Have Known. Goodbye to the families we have known. When the religious leaders said to Jesus, look, your mother and your brother and your sisters, your family is here calling for you to cut out what you're doing and go home, Jesus said, what is family? Who is my family? And then he said, whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Jesus was expanding our understanding of family. Jesus was saying, no matter how important your birth mother was to you, there is such a thing as new birth. No matter how important your heritage is to you, your heart is more important than your heritage. No matter how important your ethnicity, your nationality is to you, or your relationship to George Washington, commitment to the will of God is more important. Jesus gave us a new understanding of what it means to be family. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, when he was dying, according to John 9, he looked at his disciples and he said to them, pointing to Mary, brothers, behold your mother. None of them were biologically related to Mary. But Jesus said, she's your mother. She's your mother. Whoever does the will of God is closer to me than my blood kin, peoples of my ethnic background, peoples of my religious affiliation, peoples of my nationality. Because those who do the will of God share the same life-giving force that was in Jesus and enable us to bring new life to each other, to create true humanity, to create the new creation in Christ in which there is neither Jew or Greek, but one reality. Those who are being transformed by the loving grace of God and enabled on a daily basis to do the will of God. Those who see the entire human family, the whole world, for which God was willing to give his son as family. Recently, I heard an elder, lay Methodist leader, say in a conference addressing why the Methodist Church seemed to be losing members and not addressing young people. He said, you know, for several centuries, the primary concern of the Methodist Church was with other people's children. He said, we built schools for them. We built hospitals for them. We built camps for them. We built homes for them. But he said, now it's changed. He said, now we have said our family first, our children first, and that's it. He said, we are no longer concerned for the other children of God and doing the will of God. Steve Rose was right. In our baptism, in a very, very real way, we say goodbye to all the limitations that we've experienced in biological families, in our ethnic background, in our idolizing nationality, in seeking to deal with abuse. We say goodbye to that. And we say hello to the new creation, the family of God. Let there be peace among us, and let us never be instruments of our own or anyone else's oppression. Amen.